pregnant way.
No, I'm glowing in a CIA way. The that's streaming through my window because it's 5 in the afternoon has nothing to do with the position of the sun. It's because the fact that I work for multiple three-letter agencies. I actually have an earpiece in right now. The headphones are over it.
Oh, this is why you wear the Bass Pro Shop hat, which is to cover up your multiple headpieces you have from different agencies that handle you.
Well, it's nice, yeah. The real secret is that it looks like he's distracting from the three-letter agencies he works for, but the three-letter agency is BPS, Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, hell yes. That's Bass Pro Shops is the only three-letter agency that I support. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're the
when
real
you hear
Illuminati,
the phrase,
right?
Largest pyramid in the world, that activates you, and then you go rogue.
Whoever can take and hold the pyramid, that is to whom which it belongs.
Right, yeah, that's it's the high ground, right? You need to get the high ground, and what could be higher than the tip of the pyramid?
I love the
highest spot.
Pyramid. I need like people do like pilgrimages to Mecca. I need to make a pilgrimage to the Bass Pro Pyramid.
Well, yeah, but you need to do something cool. Like you need to like grind a sick ollie down it or something. I don't know. I'm not a skater. I probably said that wrong.
Do a 900 off the tip.
I remember I watched a video of a guy showing off his new drone, and he specifically lived in the same city where the Bass Pro Pyramid is. I think it's in Memphis.
Okay.
And he was showing off his drone, but like he was flying around the Bass Pro Pyramid. So like, I was like, yeah, whatever. It's a cool drone. But I watched the entire like 30-minute video because I wanted to see every angle of the Bass Pro Pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to see every angle of the Bass Pro Pyramid, all 4 of them.
Yeah, there's exactly 4.
Kind of the signature part of the pyramid is the 4 faces, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a 5th
three
one,
sometimes.
That's the foundation. Yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah.
But this one looks like it has 4 because it's like a square base. It also lights up at night, which seems cool. I'd want to see it lit up.
What if our ominous pyramid headquarters was also looked like Vegas? What a weird brain to like to be like, oh, we're gonna build this pyramid as like a statement. Is it a statement, or is Bass Pro Shops just like the corporate equivalent of that neighbor who goes all out for Christmas? You know what I mean?
You know how
it's basically that
the Denver airport is like filled with like New World Order, Illuminati, like secret society imagery.
I mean, I don't know that, but I do know that the horse out front, the giant metal horse, killed the artist who was working on it, and
wait,
someone else had
mercury
to finish it.
Paint or something?
No, like it fell on them.
Oh wow!
Oh, R.I.P. That's not funny. I shouldn't have laughed. That's in bad taste.
I mean, it's a lot of things. It's
no,
tragedy, but it is also kind
you have
of funny.
To suffer for your art. All right.
Yeah. Well, and isn't it also anatomically correct? Like it has enormous balls. I might be editorializing. I'm not sure.
This
I
mean, is a sculpture isn't it also like Denver Airport? I don't think I've heard of this one.
Yeah,
Airport. Horse. All right, let's get this pulled up. Yeah well, wow. It's anatomically correct because it's 40 feet tall.
Mm. Yeah.
His eyes glow. Horses are always doing that, having the
bright
eyes glow
blue
when they're mad.
With like a flaming mane. Anatomically correct, you're right.
Okay, yep, that's what I thought. Because I anatomically correct horse statues will always be funny to me because there's one here at Meyer Gardens near where I grew up, and when we would take field trips there, all the kids would try and go up and touch the horse balls.
So, actually, speaking of statues with balls, you guys know the Wall Street Bull, right?
Of course.
It's got
anatomically correct scrotum with big old bull balls. So there was a Bitcoin conference, I think it was in Miami a couple weeks ago, and they had like a robot bull outside, you know, as
like
an
a Boston Industries kind of deal.
No, just a statue. It didn't move. It was just a plastic and metal statue of a bull styled to look like a robot cyborg.
Crypto
bull.
Guys have no swag. It
the
sucks.
Funniest part, the robot cyborg bull had no balls.
No swag and no balls?
Yeah. Like, wouldn't
Come
you think
on,
that,
why would
like,
you advertise
crypto,
that?
Crypto guys would be like, wouldn't they be the number one target market for a robot bull that also has robot balls?
Enormous balls. You would think they would be like traditional like tanuki balls in old Japanese like, you know, art and stuff where they're just enormous. Because it's like a, you know, it's allegory for something, fertility, whatever. I don't know. I just know tanukis have huge nuts.
Carrying a lot of shopping bags home. That's what it's an allegory for.
Yeah. it just is a very funny it's an allegory. It's an allegory for the fact that like most of those people are like faking everything about their careers. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so silly because like you get together with your most Reddit crypto bros and you're like, let's put a fucking bull like Wall Street outside the thing and it'll be like a robot. It'll be really badass. And then you make it out of plastic and you don't give it any balls and you start to wonder, like, I wonder what the most upvoted comment on the Reddit post I made would be. It's like, you know, balls, no swag, having ass crypto fucks, fuck you. And there's like 9 billion upvotes and then yeah. they just cry. They just go home and they cry and then their apes get stolen.
That's right.
Well, I mean, speaking about getting your apes stolen, I want to talk about an ape that is more interesting than the others. And that's because it's not an NFT at all. It is a Rand Corporation research paper from 2019 that people have began examining again in light of the fact that if you read it, it basically outlines a suggestion to the United States. This is a Pentagon-funded paper from the Rand Corporation, named after Ayn Rand. I don't know, but I have to guess. I read the entire 13-page PDF, and in it, there is a lot of really damning stuff, including basically recommending to the government that they do all of the things that they then went ahead and did immediately leading up to the escalation that resulted in Russia invading Ukraine. And then you have a tweet here from Caitlin Johnstone saying the Rand Corporation has responded to the way people have been highlighting its Pentagon-funded 2019 report on strategies for crippling Russia by attaching an editor's note declaring that people who do this are Russian propagandists.
Wait.
Editor's note, April 2022.
No.
We encourage you to explore this research brief and the full report that it is based on. However, because Russian state media entities and individuals sympathetic to Putin's decision to invade Ukraine have mischaracterized this research in recent weeks, we also encourage you to explore this helpful research on Russia's fire hose of falsehood approach to propaganda and our research on truth decay, which is a phenomenon that is driven in part by the spread of disinformation. Here's the problem, though. Read the fucking PDF. There are literally charts in here saying shit like air and space/nuclear cost imposing options. Should we reposture bombers? God. Likelihood of success high, benefits moderate, costs and risks low. It goes on like this for like 45 fucking bullet points, about half of which we did in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's which part incredible. Is supposed to be like the propaganda? Just the fact that this was like are they just like, well, it wasn't directly telling the U.S. government what to do. So in between that, they were making up their own minds and this is untrue.
Yeah. And there's just a bunch of like normal CIA shit in here, too. Like they're like, we're weighing the benefits and costs of encouraging domestic protests and other nonviolent resistance in Russia or creating the perception that the regime is not pursuing the public interest. And then after you get out of the more tepid ideological and informational cost imposing measures section, you get into air and space cost imposing measures or maritime cost imposing measures or land and multi-domain cost imposing measures. That's my favorite kind of cost imposing. A multi-domain one.
My favorite chart with the cost imposing options is impose deeper trade and financial sanctions. And it's the only cost imposing option in the conclusion section where costs and risks are listed as high. So I think that what they mean is that if your cost of living is going up and you're having trouble affording food at the grocery store, or affording gas to get the work, you just have to fucking suck it up because support Ukraine. Are you a fascist? Are you a Putin supporter? No. You gotta trust the plan. That's all I'm saying.
It's crazy. I just don't know who could read this PDF and be like, option two, increasing NATO exercises in Europe, increase the size of U.S. participation, hold exercises on Russia's borders. Who reads along with this and is like, yes, these are well-reasoned strategic decisions the U.S. could use to maintain rules-based international order. I agree.
Oh, God. Every time you hear the phrase rules-based international order, you should read that as the elite ruling class imposing their will on every country that isn't currently one of their client states.
People are talking way too much about rules-based order and not about things that rule and are based, like communism.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, no, the best thing about like the CIA and the various private organizations that they pay to do their, they're using your tax dollars to do this. When you you know, you pay your taxes, that's paying the RAND Corporation to write a report on how we should provoke a land war with Russia. That's mm-hmm. what that is. And how do you know that like they're doing the things that they you know, like basically said they would do? Because they're telling you it's misinformation. They're like, hey, we researched and developed a plan to do this thing that we're now currently doing, and acknowledging that that is objective fact is evil and misinformation.
Yeah,
they're gaslighting you into feeling insane.
Look, these internet so-called leftists, so-called anti-imperialists are trying to tell you that we said the United States should expand energy production, impose deeper trade and financial sanctions, increase allied naval force posture and presence, and reposture their bombers. And we told you that the U.S. government should do that, but when you bring it up, man, it sounds like you work for Sputnik.
Yeah,
it's very insane, and the level of like misinformation and trying to cover up the widely available information is truly demented. And something else that's demented and has been one of the worst and most terrible outcroppings of this whole issue so far is a bunch of the worst musicians you've ever heard of got together to make a song about Zelensky.
Oh no!
And I regret to inform you, I actually listened to it.
I'm not. I refuse. I will not.
Don't.
Oh,
one
God.
Because okay, so I think most people have probably seen this. This is in Rolling Stone, and we have Man with the Iron Balls, Les Claypool, Eugene Hoots, Stuart Copeland, and friends sing an ode to Zelensky and his testicles. Billy Strings and Sean Lennon are also featured on the track. And Claypool said, "Some freaky East meets West art needed to be thrown that way." Thank you, Les, for your wonderful contribution.
God, that sucks ass.
It sucks ass, and it's not even well produced, which is weird because these are all like very famous musicians. The song sounds like garbage. Like, even if it had a political message that I agreed with, I would be like, this sounds like trash, please turn it off.
Didn't Sean Lennon also say recently he was like, I'm gonna cover Imagine for the first time to support Ukraine or something?
Yeah, and it was something like he had previously only said he would ever perform Imagine if it was the end of the world. And so he's basically doing that lib performance art shit where he's like, don't you get it? I've said it's the end of the world. Like,
the world's the ending.
Yeah. I'm just imagining, you know how Zelensky, whenever he speaks, he puts on this like fake, like grizzled, like soldier voice. He's like, I'm just imagining him doing like Primus lyrics, like, Jerry was a race car driver. He drove so goddamn fast.
Well, it's so funny because
I was just gonna say, I have to correct myself, it was Julian Lennon who said he was gonna perform Imagine after vowing to never perform it. I'm sure he already gets sick of people confusing him for Sean Lennon as the much more famous John Lennon son.
Yeah, who fucking gives a shit?
But I mean, also cringe, why are you performing your dad's worst song?
They should have got Vladimir Lennon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
He could play Imagine, and I would cheer for it. That's the only person who can sing that stupid song.
Singing like Imagine, there's no class relations, but it's in an Irish accent because that's how he spoke English. Which is that's the funny power move, right? Like, because you know, fuck Putin as well, but like Putin kind of has the balls to just speak in his squeaky, weird voice when he speaks. Mm-hmm. And Zelensky like tries to macho it up. He tries to throw a little Harley Davidson in there. And it kind of sounds like a guy from Ohio doing the cowboy voice. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's the great thing, because like, I think people kind of subtextually get that Zelensky is putting that on. Uh-huh. But it's so ingrained in like lib brain cancer that you have to buy completely in. You have to go whole hog into whatever the like cause of the day is. And that's why, like, because like, I don't know, in any other circumstance, like Zelensky would be probably ridiculed. Right? Like, he's a TV guy. He's like Trump was a TV guy. He talks weird. He's like always wearing t-shirts, right? Like, I don't know. He just seems to me like, I mean, he's a fucking actor. He's playing he's the fakest motherfucker alive, and everybody is pretending like he's an actual world leader, like that wasn't just installed into the position by, you know, the global elites that are engineering this conflict.
He's a guy who farted around for a few seasons on Netflix, and now he's like, oh, I am Ukrainian Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
You're definitely right that like lib brain plays a role because like these are some of the same people who convinced themselves that like Mayor Pete was a cool and relatable millennial, or that like Elizabeth Warren was a charismatic public speaker, or like, you know, whoever.
You're onto something there, because remember Mayor Pete's yard signs were blue and yellow.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got Ukrainian Juan Guaido over here.
Yeah. Blue and yellow yards. That's like some real fucking numerology.
it's predictive programming.
I'm reading into the detail. Yeah. My MK Ultra, you know, trigger phrase has activated me.
There comes a time in every man's life where he realizes that all of the things that Dale Gribble said on King of the Hill weren't gags. They were true.
That was Mike Judge trying to tell you what to do.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of figuring out the deep secrets of the world, let's zoom in on one of the contributors to this incredibly shitty song, because I had a passing thought when I saw it. I thought to myself, Stuart Copeland, Didn't I learn something horrific about him in the somewhat recent past?
What did
and
you
I
do?
Thought to myself, oh yeah, his dad was one of the founding members of the CIA.
Imagine my shock when the guy who founded who essentially amounts to the police of the world also founded, his son founded a band called The Police.
The Police.
Where'd you get the name from, huh?
with a musician called Sting, which, you know, stings are something that police and intelligence do all the time. it's all very, like, weirdly above board with them. So, like, Miles Copeland Jr., father of Stuart Copeland, drummer for The Police, and contributor to this bullshit song that sounds like asshole. If you read his Wikipedia page, it's incredibly revealing. Miles Axe Copeland Jr. His middle name is Axe. So he's literally an axe cop.
That's kind of cool.
it says, anyway, was an American musician, businessman, and Central Intelligence Agency officer best known for his close personal relationship with Egyptian leader Gamal Abdel Nasser and his, quote, controversial books on intelligence, including The Game of Nations, The Immorality of Power Politics, and The Game Player, Confessions of the CIA's Original Political Operative.
In his memoirs,
Copeland recounted his involvement in numerous covert operations, including the March 1949 Syrian coup d'etat and the 1953 Iranian coup d'etat. A conservative influenced by the ideas of James Burnham, okay, who gives a shit, Copeland was associated with the American political magazine National Review. In a 1986 Rolling Stone interview, he stated, quote, unlike the New York Times, Victor Marchetti, and Philip Agee, my complaint has been that the CIA isn't overthrowing enough anti-American governments or assassinating enough anti-American leaders, but I guess I'm getting old, end quote. What the fuck?
What a
dude.
Fucking, like, damning opening paragraph. You just have, like, he wrote multiple books about the illegal things he did and then was like, I wish we'd killed even more people, but I guess they don't listen to me anymore. They don't make them like they used to.
I guess I'm just an old man. I'll go with my heart, candy now in the matinee.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy's a war criminal. This guy's basically like a fucking Nazi officer.
Is he still alive or did he die?
He died in 1991, the same year the Soviet Union fell.
Interesting. He was like, what else is there to do?
Yeah,
who knows? He died in January. The Soviet Union stayed around for a while after that.
So close.
And then his other son, Miles Copeland III, is now an American record executive who got his start managing the band The Police.
Sounds like an industry plant.
It's a family business, more like.
No, I mean, like, the American music industry is absolutely tied up with intelligence agencies.
Well, how could it not be? I mean, we've talked about Jim Morrison pretty recently on this show and how his dad was a naval intelligence officer, I believe. But I found a really interesting chart This is on rateyourmusic.com,
okay,
which is a website I haven't used in a long time. And it's a list by ass underscore chaps. It says artists with CIA parents. And the only qualifying text under that is probably. Okay. And this is an that interesting rocks. List because this doesn't even include Stuart Copeland. So I haven't even given away anybody who's on this list yet.
Okay, and let's do this because this list on this is list. This list rules.
This list is so great. So coming in at number six, we have internet sensation and Arizona green tea can appropriator Young Lean.
No, okay, my favorite.
I love yep. Young Lean.
Yeah, Young Lean rules.
Yep.
What, is and it apparently speculation?
His mom, I guess, was Elsa Hustad, a former human rights activist who worked with LGBT groups in Russia, Vietnam, and South America since 2019, serving as the Swedish ambassador to Albania.
So when is Young Lean going to have a Pussy Riot feature?
I don't know. When is Young Lean going to go on tour with, who is it, Dua Lipa and do Albanian nationalism the tour?
Oh, man.
I got to make sure I'm saying the right person. Is it Dua Lipa? I've brought this up on the show before.
Dua Lipa sparks controversy with Greater Albania map
tweet. Yeah, that's it.
British okay. pop star Dua Lipa has sparked a huge reaction online with a tweet often associated with supporters of extreme Albanian nationalism.
Yeah, so it's a map with Albania, Kosovo, and a bunch of other parts of Balkan countries, and then it just says Greater Albania.
Yes.
Which is very, very weird. And you know, if you want to follow up on this kind of stuff, just follow the Twitter account Cursed Balkan YouTube comments, and you yes! will be in over your head so fast you will not even know.
I probably have distant relatives making some of those cursed comments.
Yeah. So the next person on this list is one I hadn't heard of. It's somebody named Julian Casablancas.
You don't know Julian Casablancas?
No, who is that?
The Strokes.
That's The Strokes? Oh,
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. And he's in The Strokes.
Because it's a bittersweet.
He did bittersweet. Wait, what?
Isn't that The Verve?
Same thing, right?
They're all the same band. No? I thought The Verve was Oasis for most of my life. So.
Same, yeah.
They're very similar. They all just sound
the
same. Apart.
The Strokes, the White yeah. Stripes, the Kinks.
And then this person who made this this Rate Your Music list, Ass Chaps, their justification for including Julian Casablancas is simply his dad was an Epstein guy.
Oh, well, it says his dad was a American-Spanish businessman, John Casablancas, who founded Elite Model Management. Which,
oh, God.
Wasn't that the a talent was that the agency? Company?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Wasn't that the one that was involved with a lot of the Epstein stuff?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. No, that was like that was like a fucking sex trafficking operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we have that to thank for whichever band Julian Casablancas was in. I'm going to say Oasis because we said that last.
That's right.
It's The Strokes.
It's The Strokes.
It's Oasis,
and
too, probably.
Coming in at slot number four, we have someone I follow on Twitter because he's really good at rating people's joints, David Crosby.
Oh, the most vestigial nice. Member of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Vestigial, wow. High praise.
That's like kind of true, and it's harsh because it's like Young isn't even always on the album. Like sometimes it's just Crosby, yeah. Stills, and Nash. But at this point, yeah. people think of Young half the time anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice to have it rounded out. You know, Young is like yeah. the some and sometimes why.
Yeah, yeah, Neil Young just drops in and he like drops some serious knowledge on a track. And then Crosby, they were just like, he just hung around with them when they started the thing and nobody had any balls to tell him that he just wasn't really contributing.
Right. Well, he got used to being a fail son and failing upward into very popular bands because, of course, he is the son of an Annapolis graduate and World War II military intelligence officer, Major Floyd Delafield Crosby. Who I looked up and is not that interesting on his own, but he is military intelligence.
Oh, so. Shit. Mm-hmm. David Crosby was in Buffalo Springfield. Okay.
Oh, really? That's a pretty good
There's
band,
something
too.
Happening here. We are planning a coup d'etat.
It's funny. All the songs that you associate with Vietnam, like Fortunate Son, it turns out they were all just written by the children of intelligence officers.
Yeah.
they were written by actual Fortunate Sons.
Fortunate Son is just about being a fail child of a CIA dad.
Yes, it's me. I'm actually the fortunate son.
Check out my SoundCloud.
This song is on there. If you're hearing it, you're already on my SoundCloud, but check it out again.
And next we got Jared Leto. Makes total sense.
That's literally the least shocking. A cult leader,
probably groomed to be a cult leader. It says, after a couple of years together, the newly christened Letos lived in a, quote, commune in Colorado for 3 years until Constance decided to move the family to Haiti, of all places, where she claims to have worked for an unnamed medical charity.
CIA. 100% There's no goddamn... The CIA is like fucking Scientologists. They will get people who are just like popular... random actors, and they will help inflate their fucking, like, Jared Leto, however you say that bullshit, he should never have been properly famous. He should have been a blip on the radar of fame. But because who's Constance? Is that his mom?
Yeah, I think that's his mom.
His mom? If your mom just suddenly moves to Haiti and starts working for an unnamed medical charity that glows intensely at all hours of the day and night, like, and then your career takes off, it's like, you're not the Joker, baby. you would be lucky to be the midnight smoker, my friend. Toker, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah.
Oh, next up is, it should surprise nobody.
Who is Mitski? I do not know who this is. I'm sorry.
You don't know? Okay, so
I've heard a couple of her songs.
She's like a singer-songwriter that's really popular with I guess, I don't know. What's Mitski's primary demographic?
I don't know her well enough to like
hipster
know.
Girls. Like,
she seems kind of hipster,
like a singer songwriter. But yeah, no, her dad's CIA.
Yeah.
Her dad. Well,
Department of State.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is basically the same. So when she grew up, she lived in countries like Turkey, China, Malaysia, Japan, the Czech Republic, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, before eventually settling in the United States. And apparently her dad was like really, really involved with a bunch of fuckery in the Congo during the time when it was called Zaire, between the times it was called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I don't remember all the details of this, but I did look them up yesterday, but it was also while I was smoking big doinks. So hard to recall the info.
Holy shit. I remember when it was called Zaire because I remember being in probably first kindergarten or something, maybe first grade, and we had a map that had Zaire, and then the teacher had to cross out and put the Congo or whatever,
right? Mm-hmm. Democratic People's Republic of the Congo. Yeah. I remember hearing that name, and someone in my family said something like, the more words in the country's name that are trying to convince you that it's good usually mean it's bad. And I thought that was so funny when I was a kid, but now that I'm older and I'm like, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea is actually the far better Korea, I gotta say.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely one of the exceptions. Way.
Yeah. Real coin flip if there were heads on both sides of the coin and they were labeled DPRK.
and number one, of course,
best Korea, Jim Morrison.
That's right. Yep. And I'm sure there's a ton of other ones. I mean, like, if an artist just blows up out of nowhere, they're usually an industry plant. Mm-hmm. But I never realized that so many of them were the military industrial complex industry plants and not just the recording industry.
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of actors that I pulled from another list. Olivia Newton-John, whose father, Brindley Newton-John, was an RAF intelligence officer and then MI5 officer during World War II. Mm-hmm. And he also helped crack the Enigma code, which is cool, but still, being a British intelligence officer, pretty cringe and fail. and then Paul Rubens, also known as Pee Wee Herman, also known as the Spleen in seminal 1999 film Mystery Men. His father, Milton Rubenfeld, was a World War II pilot who was one of the five founding members of the Israeli Air Force.
Wow. It's fucked up.
Yeah, so they're out there, folks. It's not just Scientologists. It's not just the cast of that 70s show you have to watch out for, unfortunately. Wow. And formerly Beck. Although he's also Beck, yeah, he left Scientology a few years ago, but he's still an industry plant. His dad produced a bunch of Grammy winning records, so fuck him.
Sure. But I like
I love him, but fuck him.
Oh, apparently Bill Nye's mom worked for US intelligence during World War II.
Really?
Okay, sure. But like what Bill Nye does, I feel like is unambiguously good. Like tell me how Bill Nye is inoculating us into ideology.
Oh, I don't know.
Like you would
just saying, I'm just saying to get famous, like, you know, you could do good things once you're famous.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But some to people, get famous, you have to be connected.
Some people choose the light path, even if it was handed to them on a silver platter.
You have to either be connected or be so outrageously stupid that you get on a viral video.
Right, right, right. Well, that's the thing is, like, I remember buying a Stuart Copeland album during my stupid ass vinyl phase. We all had one, dudes who went through their mid to late 20s. Don't pretend you didn't. And so I buy this stupid fucking album because it's called The Equalizer and Other. I don't remember what the last word in the title was, but it doesn't matter because fuck this guy. But I thought it was interesting because it was about equalizers. And I was like, maybe it's mixed really crazy or something. I don't fucking know. I'm going to buy it and take it home and check it out. And I remember listening to it and thinking, oh, this is pretty tepid and boring. I wonder how this guy got so fucking popular. I never thought the drums for The Police were particularly inventive either. It's just a bunch of like shuffle beats and ripping off reggae over and over again.
The one, while we're on this music thing, the one celebrity who has an actually cool parent who I would argue is more famous than they are is Rashida
Kamala
Jones.
Harris.
Rashida Jones,
yeah.
Whose dad is Quincy Jones.
Yeah,
the myth, the legend.
It's hard to fucking compete with Quincy Jones. Like, no matter many like cute comedies you're in or how many Parks and Recs you make, it's like, is that as good? Is that as cool as Quincy Jones? No fucking
The guy
way.
Who produced fucking Thriller.
Yeah,
Quincy Jones arranged the song that would go on to become the Austin Powers theme, and he also arranged the song that was used as the intro for Sanford and Son.
Holy like, shit!
How much more fucking reach do you need, man?
I know.
Sanford and Son, all the way out to Mike Myers. Like this man can put together a song for anything. He's a fucking genius. And
he does
like,
it all.
He had some kind of like tell-all interview a few years ago where he like spilled the beans on a bunch of actors he knew back in the day that were sleeping with each other. I think Marlon Brando was on the list. He was like being real cool about it. And then he would say like, I don't remember how the interview went, but it was like truly, truly hilarious. Hold
I remember
on.
That one. I remember he was talking shit about the Beatles. He was just like, they were some no playing motherfuckers. He had a story about them like trying to do a take and like Ringo kept messing it up. Like just like a simple drum take. And then he left for like one session and this like jazz drummer came in and just nailed it in one take. And Ringo was like, hey, that sounds pretty good. And Quincy Jones was like, and I was like, yeah, it sounds good, motherfucker. It's not you.
Get his ass.
One celebrity who surprisingly did not have connections to U.S. intelligence, at least before they connected with him,
right.
Is John Krasinski, whose parents were a nurse and a doctor. And then, so I guess even if you aren't an industry plant, they will plant industry in you.
Well, I mean, when you become like the most popular everyman figure in America for half a decade at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the CIA starts to want a little bit of that action, you know, because like I remember that time when he posted that video, he's like, the CIA invited me to tour their offices. And I remember at first thinking like, fuck you. And then my second thought was, you're just Jim Office. Why are you at the CIA?
Probably because he played a fucking who does he play in the like Tom Clancy thing? Like Jack Ryan,
Jack
I think,
Reacher.
Right? I think Jack Reacher is actually cool. He he's not like that cool, but he's not a CIA agent. Jack Ryan is just straight CIA.
Wait, those are different guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
Jack Reacher is a different writer, I think. Or is it still Tom Clancy? I forget.
Well, speaking of what we're fucking talking about, moving on from influential parents of influential people, I want to talk about a little bungle that happened around the Capitol recently.
Oh, no.
We had a whoopsie.
Oopsie.
I found this story only because I have been Googling Fort Bragg every single day before we do the episode just to see if something happens.
More than like Googling like how to make a bomb out of fertilizer or how to 3D print a gun, I think your Google searches for Fort Bragg are going to get you a visit from the FBI.
Maybe. It's so funny because I think every time, because I'm not Googling like how to get into Fort Bragg or like, you know, how to, or like Fort Bragg schematics. I'm literally just Googling the words Fort Bragg and clicking the news tab two times a week.
Have you been served ads to join the military?
No, not yet. Okay, not yet. Okay. Although I have been served ads for camo hunting pants. So I think they might think I have a different interest in what's going on.
I have a pair of those. I don't use them for hunting, though.
No, you use them.
I just wear them when I'm hanging out.
Oh, right.
Just walking around pants.
Yeah. Just a stunt on them. Damn, Todd, back at it again with the camo hunting pants.
You didn't have to fucking do it to him.
They have a lot of pockets.
This little whoopsie fucko that we had around the Capitol is being reported on in WNCT, which is some local news affiliate. I can't even tell who they're affiliated with.
CBS, right? That's the I think.
Okay, yeah, CBS. And it says the U.S. Capitol was briefly evacuated Wednesday after police identified an aircraft that they said posed a, quote, probable threat, but the plane was actually carrying members of the U.S. Army Golden Knights, who then parachuted into Nationals Park for a pregame demonstration.
Sick. Hell yeah.
So you're like a congressperson, and you're getting ushered out of the Capitol, and the police are like, it's happening. There's a probable threat. The terrorists are here. We don't know if it's January 6th or Al-Qaeda or the communists, but they're here. And it just turns out it's a bunch of roided up dudes addicted to cocaine from Fort Bragg doing a pregame show for your baseball team.
The World War II era biplane is trailing a sign behind it saying he was found unresponsive.
Yeah, the U.S. Army Golden Knights died on the way back to their home planet.
This is really funny though, because like, right, airspace around the U.S. Capitol, I'm gonna hit you with my aviation autism for a second.
Hell yeah.
The airspace around the U.S. Capitol is the most protected airspace basically in the country. There's different classes of airspace. It is basically the most protected airspace. So for you to do something like non-standard in that airspace, right? Like, you have to get FAA clearance. Apparently, they did get FAA clearance. Like, the Army contacted the FAA, and they were like, yo, can we fly in here and drop our guys into this game? And the FAA was like, sure thing, buddy. Just, you know, see you at the meetings.
It's like that meme where it's like the U.S. Army is like, I consent, and the FAA is like, I consent. Isn't there someone you forgot to ask?
The Capitol Police. Apparently. I guess the Capitol Police apparently have domain over the skies now or something. But the FAA has its issues, but they are like, they do kind of care about safety. I would venture to say that the National Transportation Safety Board is one of the only good government agencies, because they do a really good job of investigating whenever a mega corporation kills a bunch of people because they cut maintenance budgets or they just cut costs and shit like that. The FAA is also terrible in a lot of ways. They're the reason that you have to get, anally probed every time you want to get on a plane.
They're the reason I can't powered paraglide above a certain number of thousand feet, and I find that disrespectful to my individual liberties.
But basically, the Army contacted the FAA. They asked for special clearance, right? And they got the special clearance. Mm-hmm. And then the FAA did not contact the Capitol Police and tell them, like, hey, these guys are going to be flying. So, kind of a comedy of errors here.
I mean, it's probably.
Do you really
like,
need to tell the Capitol Police, though? It's like, what? Do they have an Air Force of their own? Or, like, isn't the U.S. Air Force already handling this?
Yeah,
I feel like the Capitol Police probably jumped the gun slightly by being like, oh my God, this is clearly terrorists. We have to stop this.
I think you're absolutely right, Chris. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those moments where, like, nine cops at once will all check themselves into the ER because they think there was fentanyl in a room they were in.
Yeah.
And they're just like, plane, suspicious plane, every congressperson out. This is not a drill. Pretend the plane is fentanyl. Like,
all right. So I'm going to look at, there's this website called Sky Vector, and you can look at anywhere in the United States, basically anywhere in the world,
but specifically the United States, and see exactly where the protected airspace is. Mm-hmm. And the biggest circle of protected airspace is over Washington, D.C. So if we if we zoom in here, let's take a look. Let's take a look for the what's it called? The what field do they play at? The Capitals. You guys know the name of the field?
Nationals Park.
Oh, Nationals. I call them the Capitals. Okay, so let's see where that is on Google Maps. Not only is it restricted airspace, it's a flight restricted zone prohibited area. So, yeah, no, like somebody really fucked up.
That's what I love to see. A restricted zone, flight prohibited area, just like 95 no parking signs. All like floating, held up by drones across that airspace. Like, seriously, don't park here.
Coincidentally, there's TFR right now as I'm looking at this map. TFR stands for temporary flight restriction. For a baseball game at the Nationals stadium. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the FAA probably lifted that for just that Army plane. But yeah, there was just like a chain of fuck ups that led to this, which is very funny.
That's
very
the funny thing that is
these
like,
people are like in charge of our security.
Yeah, it's like all the cops mobilized and not a single one of them thought to like check the chart that you found in like what, 30 seconds?
30 seconds. Yeah.
So very, very funny, very, very revealing that police are absolutely fucking incompetent and possibly even the federal agencies who should have communicated with them are also incompetent. But I prefer to think of it as more of like the FAA literally just doesn't give a shit about the police. They're like, let them freak out. Fuck.
No, that's the thing, because
they don't fly. Show me a flying pig.
If you're on an airplane, the FAA has more jurisdiction than the police. So if you commit a crime on the airplane, on an airplane, you probably still have to worry about the police and the criminal justice system, but your number one worry is the FAA coming down on you.
Right.
And they don't fuck around.
Yeah. Isn't there like a flight marshal on every plane?
No, that's a lie they tell you to make you afraid of stealing drinks from the drink cart.
Yeah, just like how saying that my cell phone signal will interrupt the avionics on the plane, even though that's not.
I mean, sometimes the air marshal is just deep undercover. So undercover that he's just pretending to be a fat guy who sleeps through the whole flight and doesn't stop any crimes from happening. But that's just so next time you're lulled into a false sense of security.
Sitting on a crowded plane, curious, looking around, looking down, noticing I have a badge hanging from my neck. Oh, fuck. Am I the air marshal? You've been the air marshal this whole time.
I should have never smoked that shit. Now I'm the air marshal on flight 93.
They just shove you in randomly.
I should have never smoked that shit. Now I'm a U.S. federal marshal. Yeah, so they shut down the Capitol for this whole thing, and they evacuated a bunch of Congress people, which is very, very fucking funny. But speaking of things shutting down, let's talk about something that nobody thought would succeed. I'm not talking about a Democratic candidate, my friends. I'm talking about something much more tepid and boring. CNN Plus.
Oh, no. This sucks because I invested heavily in CNN Plus. I really thought it was going to be the next Disney Plus. It has a plus at the end.
A plus in the name? Yeah, CNN's been around for a while. Yeah, I was in big talks. I was like, can we turn Beep Lettuce into like a CNN Plus TV show where we do the show, we smoke weed, we're on camera, you know, we get paid $1 million each. It was going to happen, but then it shut down, so no more.
The most critical part of the Beep Beep Lettuce show on CNN Plus, of course, was going to be that people could watch it whenever they wanted. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to have to wade through 24/7 news coverage on one of the most boring channels in known existence in order to see an hour of us doing funny weed jokes. No, they would have been able to call it up, just like any of CNN's other memorable programs, a camera aimed at a pundit, or camera aimed at a politician, or my personal favorite, camera aimed at a large committee.
This reminds me of those charts that were going around in 2021 that showed all of the cable news like talk shows or whatever compared to Joe Rogan, where like Joe Rogan is so like the highest rated cable news show in 2021 was Tucker Carlson, and Joe Rogan, like the chart, it's just like Tucker Carlson is like here, And then next to it is a bar that's like four times as big, and it's the Joe Rogan Experience. But like at the very, very, very bottom of that list is CNN Primetime Average, which is a whopping 12 times less viewership than the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Look, Joe Rogan saw guys like Tucker Carlson, who are dumb guys pretending to be smart, trying to appeal to other dumb guys who think they're smart. And he said, I'll do you one better. There are four times as many regular dumb guys who don't even think they're smart. And I can get them to listen to my show.
That's right.
Yeah. CNN. I mean, it's like maybe the worst thing to try to turn into like an on-demand service you could imagine, because nobody's ever demanded CNN. CNN is just there. CNN is like toilet paper that is just like you go to the bathroom. Oh, there's some toilet paper there. Like maybe you notice it if it's off. You're like, hey, I'm at the airport and there's no CNN on. That's weird. Well, anyway.
Setting my remote to do that thing where it memorizes another channel to switch back and forth from so that during every commercial break, I can switch to CNN and loudly announce, time to wipe!
CNN is the channel that, like, you go to, like, a nursing home and, like, the seniors are transfixed on CNN. Because they just want to find out what they're supposed to be terrified of this week. Like right now it's Putin, right? Mm-hmm. Before it was COVID, and then before that it was Trump. And it turns out that nobody really wants to watch that on demand. They just watch it because it's there.
And nobody's telling the old people what they should really be afraid of. Werther's soft candy.
Yeah, it turns out there's atrazine in those.
Yeah, they're bad for you, folks. That's right. Especially if you wear dentures. They will eat away the adhesive. But I actually restock vending machines in the employee break room of an old folks' home, and they do often be watching CNN. Yeah, they also like Fox and MSNBC and all the other channels. But another thing I noticed that they watch sometimes are like slideshows that the staff will put on for them. And the most memorable one I ever saw, I was just walking by the room and I didn't want to stay and look too long like a weirdo, but there were slides up with like the Empire State Building and it said like, things to know about New York. And then she clicks to another slide and she's like, it's really big. Oh, and I'm like, these people have lived full lives. You think they don't know what a New York City is?
That's horrible. They've read about it. Imagine living your whole life, like working for 40, maybe 50, 60 years, like if you're in not such a good socioeconomic spot. Yeah.
Well, you're in West Michigan, so you probably worked for Hayworth or Perrigo.
You end up in like an old folks home where like the people working there, granted there are old people who are, you know, their brains are starting to go. But even if you're like an old person who's like sharp, you just get treated like you're an adult baby. That's so depressing.
I mean, it sucks, but I'm of two minds about it too, because like aging is like turning into a fucking adult baby. Like your faculties kind of start to go after a while. You have to fight really hard to keep those sharp.
That's true.
I was with this lady who trained me. Trainers get sent out with us once in a great while, you know, in the first 6 months while we're working. And we were having a conversation, and I don't remember how we got to talking about Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, but I said, and she's a conservative, she likes Trump, and I said to her this, I said, regardless of politics, take a look at Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and tell me which one is doing his crossword puzzles. It's not that fucking hard to figure out.
It's obvious. Yeah
but she kind of chewed it over and she was like, I do think Bernie Sanders would have been better than Joe Biden. And I'm like, see?
Yeah, but why do you think the New York Times acquired Wordle? It's because it's just dumbed down crossword.
Wordle is the new Bernie Sanders, which the New York Times has also recently acquired.
Poor Bernie. He's like protesting, like, hey, I don't want to be owned by the New York Times. Please stop this. I want to go back to Congress. And they're like, shh, come on, you're coming to the building.
Quiet.
You're one of our
man.
Attractions now.
Yeah, Bernie, I love you so much, but you suck so bad, dude. Just give up. So just give up already.
Yeah.
Just either give up or become a communist.
Either way it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
Just buy a bag of Werther's and hang out with your grandkids, man. It's not working out.
But hey, look, I gotta give it up for the tenacity that Bernie Sanders showed, and partly because it's so rare these days that you see that kind of tenacity. I mean, CNN Plus lasted, what, a month?
They couldn't even make it better or change anything. They were just like, yeah, this failed completely.
Yeah. Was that other one Quibi?
Quibi was Quibi, really fast. Quibi seemed like a money laundering
Quibi
scheme.
Quibi outlasted CNN Plus.
Really? They were more than a month?
Yeah. CNN Plus didn't even have the staying power of Quibi, a platform built on 10-minute videos for That's some just... godforsaken reason.
Quibi got like $1 billion in funding, and everyone was like, why would this idea get $1 million in funding? It's very stupid.
I mean, there were like
Ponzi scheme.
Big budget commercials for it and everything, too. I feel like there was an earnest attempt to develop a user base for it. Like, they had, like, I think there were like Saturday Night Live ass fucking celebrities who were doing, like, we're in these Quibis, and I like to watch a Quibi on the go, not while I'm driving, haha, but before and after while I wait to awkwardly meet my friends at the bar. Perfect time for a Quibi. And it's like, YouTube fucking exists. I don't know what to tell you. Like, all good short videos already are on YouTube. What market are you trying to break into? like people who have time to watch videos, but not a lot, because I have a meeting to pitch a Quibi in 10 minutes. Like,
here's a fucking streaming service that would require very little a small amount of effort up front, and then very little upkeep, very little overhead to run. Okay. It's a YouTube, a local client for viewing YouTube that runs the original YouTube suggestion algorithm from like 2007. It just pulls all the APIs from YouTube. It reads tags. It also has a suggestion algorithm, but it completely ignores sponsored content. It completely ignores the videos that they pay to push in your algorithm, and it just serves you up things that are actually related to the tags and content in text of the description of the video.
It is kind of crazy. I really like the point that you're making. It is kind of crazy that, like, we got really good at like data sorting and developing relatively simple but effective algorithms that would show you related content that we slowly honed over time. And then there was like a moment, like, I don't know, 2011, where all of a sudden it started to become super tailored towards advertisement.
Yes.
And the technology has only gotten better, but the aim of the technology has completely changed. It's no longer to keep you on the website as long as possible, which is what it used to be. And they're, you know, the motive was, we serve up as good of content as we can. They spend as much time here as possible. And now it's more like, we serve up the most exploitable content to the most exploitable consumers.
Yes.
And you're basically getting wish ads in your YouTube recommendations after a while.
It'd be interesting to see what would happen, like, if you gave the old algorithm like new content, because like YouTube content for the past, like, I don't even know how long, 5 years, 8 years, has been like, it's always like tailing what they imagine the algorithm wants. So that's why you get like weird faces, you get the white outline on people, you get the weird thumbnails, you get the titles, you get the specific length, you get smash the bell, whatever. So I'd be curious with like all of that stuff, which is sort of, because the thing about YouTube is that they're always trying to keep you from like gaming the algorithm too much. You know, they want to be one step ahead of whatever you're doing. So would like the most algorithmically primed videos just like shoot to the top using the old algorithm, because it wasn't like designed to get around those tricks and stuff?
Well, I would say that like you're not going to get a hold of the source code for the original YouTube algorithm. You would just have to program something new. Like this is a piece of software or like a website that's like a couple people could bang out in like a week. Right. I'm just like, if it, and listeners, if you're like a code person, because we don't do that shit, we actually touch grass. But if you do the shit, I will personally send you $100 worth of Dogecoin. I don't actually have Dogecoin, but nice. I will.
Listener, we will. I wasn't going to do this, but handsomely. I'm so offended. I will send you $100 actual dollars. I will send you $101 bills. Very spendable.
If
completely
we're
fungible.
Putting a bounty. If you can make a site that pulls all of the YouTube APIs and allows you to have suggested videos just based on tags and the text in the description of the YouTube videos, like, I would use it. I'm sure like thousands of people would use it. And then Google would probably crack down on it. But whatever, yeah. You know.
They would send you to jail, probably.
It's $1 million idea.
Welcome to your new YouTube experience. An experience guided by you. Only you can truly tell us what videos are related to Charlie Bit Me. Start clicking now. It's like Stumble Upon, but just for YouTube. And it has like a really good algorithm.
Yeah, that would be fucking tight.
We could develop a whole suite of YouTube add-ons and then get in a protracted legal battle with YouTube. I think that would be really fun.
You notice how nobody uses Stumble Upon anymore because there's only 5 websites?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they just got tired of upon as a preposition. They're like, why don't I stumble amongst?
Can I stumble across? Can I stumble into? I don't know.
Stumble between.
Yeah, why not stumble between a couple things? Yeah, that'd be cool. Sometimes it just loads like half of 2 different websites and you have to like piece together what each one is.
Stumble upon preposition randomizer. Any percent glitchless.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of random, we're going
to
do our...
Something I'd like to watch on YouTube.
That's right. Something we'd like to watch on YouTube. I wanted to bring up this article that is relevant to the show for obvious reasons. It's a Fox 13 article. It says, firefighters battle heavy smoke at medical cannabis dispensary in Clearwater.
Hell yeah.
I got to tell you, there's nothing I like more than battling heavy smoke at a dispensary.
Wait, why the fuck are these... The firefighters, it looks like they have like their gas mask gear on and stuff. Why are they wasting this perfectly good weed smoke by like breathing it through a filter? Just breathe it in.
You got a micro dose at first, right? Like if you just walk in there, you're going to be obliterated for the whole day. You got to let that fire die down. You got to find the good pockets and you got to gradually work your way in. Otherwise, your ears are going to pop. It's going to feel like you dove too far down in the swimming pool. And just generally, you'll be really hungry.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I assume things besides weed are on fire in the store as well.
I guess I had that thought. I was like, it would be tempting, but I might be like, well, what if the floor is burning or like the carpet? I don't really want to breathe carpet.
It's just you get to play the floor as lava while hotboxing.
Yeah. Right.
Avoid the floor smoke.
Yeah. This is in Clearwater, Florida, but I do know that in California, I think it's the only state that allows you to actually smoke in like lounges at the dispensary. So now I'm imagining someone calling the fire department and being like, help, I think this dispensary is on fire. And the fire department just being like, no, that's just a very active lounge. Please stop calling us.
But RIP to this, well, it's a medical dispensary. So, well, you know, God said, let the people buy weed.
Yeah, I hope these medical patients don't have too much trouble getting their fucking dank ass nugs elsewhere. But yeah.
No, I mean, that's what they get for restricting it to only medical patients.
Yeah. You think this was God punishing the state of Florida?
they were smote.
I
don't know about that because, like, really, what possible reason could God have for punishing the state of Florida? I can't think of any.
They've never done anything wrong.
They really haven't. I'm racking my brains to think about anything bad about Florida. Can you guys think of anything?
I'm like, there's a lot of gators there. Based on like half the related stories on this website are like police issue warning for pedestrians after another massive gator sighting.
It's
massive
a local...
gator interrupts golfers at Stony Brook course in Sarasota.
It's all gators all the time.
Florida is like Fort Bragg, but instead of dead soldiers, it's alive gators.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Florida's so fucking awesome.
Florida is pretty banging. I've never been, but I hope one day to spend approximately one day in Florida.
Florida man rolls building-sized joint and lights it on fire. Right. Fire marshal says this is probably a bad idea.
Speaking of rolling a building-sized joint, that's what I'm getting ready to go do now to celebrate my newly acquired health. I didn't get a chance to talk about it on this episode.
Oh, yeah. That shit was crazy. We're so glad that you're, you know, you've had the foreign object removed from your body.
Yeah, that's right. And if you want to know the story of that, dear listener, you're going to have to subscribe to the bonus where I will tell
He's teasing the bonus. Holy shit.
This is a good story. You guys honestly would want to know about this one if you don't know.
Masterful, John.
It's fucking crazy. Masterful. It's fucking nuts. And I'm still wearing the hospital bracelet right now. I'm fine, everybody. Mm-hmm. My life was never in danger. Well, maybe a long time ago, but we'll get into it on the bonus. I love you all. Go roll a building size joint. Listen to my other show, Work Stoppage. Check out Chris on the Twitch, twitch.tv/BP Bledis Pod. Follow at Weed Pod on Twitter and follow all of us from there. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Subscribe to the Patreon. Get in the Discord. Goodbye. Stay
Beep
high.
On, y'all.
Bye.